But joining us this morning, the mayor of the city of Lorain, Chase Rittenour. Speaking of T-shirts, did you get one last night? It was gold. What was the saying on gold and wine, or wine and gold?
Wine and gold. Yes, yes. Of course, six sizes too big. Every one of them is like triple XL. So.
Well, they're just trying.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can at least wear it.
Yeah.
You know when you go in there, and I was watching last night when they were setting it up. There are guys that go around and throw the T-shirts on the seats. And then they have another group of people that straighten them out and make them look really nice for the cameras later on as well. So it's it's a lot of teamwork and effort going on there as well. And that's kind of what, you know, you got to find out when you're the mayor. You're going to have to put together a team of people and have a little bit of a vision, obviously, for the city. What are some of the things you want to talk about today that you think that maybe is of interest to people in the Lorain County area? What's happening with your city?
Certainly in the newspaper today, there's a couple of things that are certainly of interest that I hear about. I guess going back, you know, to begin the year, obviously the budget was something that was of grave concern with what we're seeing from steel industry, state of Ohio, in terms of revenue cuts. And, you know, we're continuing to work through that, as was talked about this week in the newspaper. You know, we've got some federal grants that we're hoping come through. If not, we're going to have to make some more tough decisions. But the bottom line is we need to make sure our budget's balanced this year because, you know, in the past, it got to the point where the deficits were acceptable here. You would cut it a little bit, but then you'd roll it over, and then if you had another bad year, you would just compound the problem. We're not going to do that. We can't do that. And I think if we make the tough decisions this year, next year will be, while difficult, a lot easier versus what this year was, and we'll be in a structurally balanced position. So that has dominated a lot of time this year. In terms of projects, though, you know, front page is the Spitzer Building. You know, we hear a lot about the Spitzer Building, what it meant, what it means to downtown Lorain. You know, our waterfront, the tunnel project being finished. It's part of the puzzle in the downtown district. And, you know, the discussion about September, it needs to be abated. And, you know, I've long said that the deal between Spitzer and the group out of Chicago, Retown, with the historical tax credits, is something we certainly support, and we would like to see it put back into productive use. But if it cannot be put back into productive use, particularly with tax credits, and the state and federal historic tax credits are typically, they're used in a project because the project doesn't cash flow without them. These historic buildings are tough to renovate, they're tough to rehab. So across the state, this program is in place to basically provide the gap financing to rehab buildings such as these. But if that deal can't come to be, I think it was illustrated in the paper today, then it needs to be demolished. I mean, there's two tracks here. What's going on now just can't persist. So that is something we're keeping a close eye on. And our waterfront, you know, our waterfront with the tunnel project, we're looking at it being done end of this year or January of next year. A lot of it, you know, weather dependent too. But that project being done, I think, is critical, plus the Spitzer Building, to really catapulting our waterfront for development prospects. And we have development prospects. We've got people who want to be here, who want to come here. My job is, as with the Spitzer Building, as with the waterfront, how do you finance the gap? There's always this gap of what private equity is willing to put in versus what the total cost of the project is. City cannot mortgage its future on these types of projects. It doesn't mean we're not going to participate, but we very rarely, if ever, have the ability to finance the entire gap of the project. So we've been very active in Columbus, Washington, D.C. This is the start of my second term. I've made it a point to get a lot more active to try to get those federal and state dollars back here to make these projects work. So that's going to be a lot of my focus for the rest of the year as well.
Let's talk about the budget and the economic downturn in the steel industry, or what resulted with the steel industry. Former Governor Strickland was in town a couple of weeks ago campaigning for the U.S. Senate, and we were over at the Steelworkers Local 1104. And the day or two after that, an editorial came out in the Chronicle-Telegram, and I just want to read a little blip of this and get your thoughts on this. Nobody makes autos in Lorain anymore. Nobody builds ships. Nobody makes steam shovels. Manufacturing is disappearing, not just from Lorain and Elyria, but from the United States and the world. Better that politicians help constituents prepare for the jobs of the future than pretend they can restore the jobs of the past. What does that say to you?
Yeah, I think I partially agree with that statement. I think manufacturing is still a part of the United States economic output, the gross domestic product. I think manufacturing is part of it. You know, when you look at U.S. Steel and some of these other specialized steel industry companies in this region, you know, many in this region, they're purely driven by the price of oil and gas. If that price goes back up, their orders will pick up. However, you know, I think it's telling in that a lot of the jobs, you know, the percentage of manufacturing is down. You know, whether you blame it on free trade agreements of the past 20 years, whether it's blamed on lower wages, whether it's blamed on a changing economy, whether it's blamed on, you know, just countries that were not industrializing. And we're seeing it in China right now with their industrial boom starting to slow down as well. So I agree with that in part. I don't think manufacturing is dead completely. I don't think there's zero manufacturing. There's going to be a manufacturing component. You know, when you look at 2 years ago where the city of Lorain was with the steel industry, I mean, we had a fraction of the steel workers in Lorain in 2014 that we did in, you know, the 50s and the 60s. I mean, we were talking 1,500 steel workers. But 1,500 steel workers with where our budget is versus 200 makes all the difference in the world. I do think what the editorial said in terms of preparing for the jobs of tomorrow is very important, and we're doing that. The issue with that, though, is it's a different economy. The days of 300 or 400 or 500 people, factories or mills, are just gone, getting those into the city. You see the few and far betweens, as I like to call them, the Bendixes of the world, the Riddells of the world. But truthfully, economic development these days is, and I got a call yesterday, hey, we're expanding. We're continuing to add employees. We were at nothing. We're at 40 now. But in order to continue to expand, Mayor, your water line at the street level, you know, goes from an 8-inch to a 6-inch, not delivering enough water to our building. We can't expand here and add capacity if we don't have a fire extinguishing system that can handle it. These are the things economic development-wise that we're working on. It's the 15-person company. We're trying to get to 45 people. It's the company that nobody heard about that's got 40 people. How do we support them in getting bigger? Economic development has changed in that we are all competing. Lorain, Elyria, North Ridgeville, Avon, what have you, for a lot of these companies that have just 20, 30 jobs. But the bottom line there is, as you get a lot of those, you diversify the workforce collectively, you can see some movement. I also think that the downtown is very important. I really believe Lorain, in moving into the future, I think entertainment is going to be a really key facet of where Lorain goes. I think Rockin' on the River, Roverfest, Country Jam, Brewfest down here, Firefish Festival, you know, once that project, once the tunnel's done on the waterfront, you know, the Spitzer building, the tunnel, you go south of Spitzer, some local developers are already acquiring buildings and starting to renovate them on Broadway. I think that is really an area that we have to focus, along with our industrial park, the East Side Industrial Park, the West Side Industrial Park. But I think the economy is more diversified now. I don't think manufacturing as a percentage of the economy is going to be as much as it used to be, but I still think it is going to be a percentage. And in Lorain's case, I think it's going to be a meaningful percentage.
How much of difficulty is it as an older city with all that infrastructure? You mentioned water lines, all the hidden things, the utilities that were set in place at a certain era, competing with other places that were once farmland and now put the new 21st century things in there. How do you compete with something like that so that you can attract the businesses that are needed?
It's an issue on two fronts. The first front is that, you know, obviously the new infrastructure is infrastructure that's it's going in as properties being built, as roads are being put in, sewer lines, water lines. It's newer infrastructure. In our case, a lot of our infrastructure is 70, 80 years old. We're talking roads, we're talking water lines. So from a capital standpoint, the capital investment in those in those assets and those needs for citizens. I mean, you know, we have to, every time the faucet turns on, we've got to deliver potable water. It's not an excuse that the water line's old or it's 80 years old and, you know, barely, you know, a trickle of water can make its way through the water line. There's that element of it. You know, but the other element of it is, as these larger industrial cities have shrunk in size, and it's not just Lorain. I look at the Youngstown model. You know, we started housing demolition here in 2012 with the land bank. Youngstown was doing it in 2008. They saw what was going on. What you can call it urban sprawl, you can call it people moving to the suburbs. These middle-sized cities, the Lorains, the Cantons, the Parmas, the the Youngstowns of the world, shrinking. Well, as they shrink, that doesn't mean that we can shrink the lane miles in roadway we take care of. That doesn't mean we can shrink, you know, the length of our water lines, our sewer lines. As the population shrinks, we still have an infrastructure built out to support a larger population, and all that infrastructure still needs to be maintained. You know, I can't make the argument to areas of town that have lost residents, well, you know, too bad. You know, we're not gonna go right. Take care of that road. I mean, South Lorain, consider South Lorain, the steel mills, you know, 12,000-14,000 people when they were really going. They're at, you know, maybe a couple hundred right now with the downturn. So we have a city built out to support that amount of people working in it that, you know, doesn't have that amount of people working in it. So there are costs there that we have to incur that, I guess, these cities that are tighter, that are just developing now, they don't have those costs as much as we do. So on two fronts, it's challenging on the infrastructure side.
But you still have in some future way, you have a large area where it could handle if more people came back and became a part of the community or growth, however that would possibly take place.
Certainly. And you look at it, a lot of this is trend too. I mean, you look at downtown Cleveland. I mean, with what they've seen with you know, people living in the downtown area. Now, I'm very careful before comparing downtown Cleveland to downtown Lorain. Some people want to make that comparison. Well, Mayor, make it like Cleveland. Well, I don't have Quicken Loans Arena on the Black River. I don't have, you know, the Progressive Field bringing in, you know, 15,000-20,000 people a night. We're not downtown Cleveland. We're not Tremont. We're not, you know, Gordon Square, but we're Lorain. And I think we've got some unique opportunities to do just that. But we've got to grind it out. I mean, there's no magic potion. There's no silver bullet. It's investing in the things and doing the things that we know developers want to see. And again, it's trying to figure out how to make these deals work. There's not a lack of desire to come to Lorain. There are developers wanting to do that waterfront project, wanting to come in. It's an economics issue. People are not going to come to Lorain if they don't feel they can make money. And in order to get to that point, the financing has to work. And at this point, it doesn't. I think in the future it can. And we're, like I said, working with our partners in D.C. and in Columbus to try to bring that money back. Because I think we've got a real opportunity with the amount of undeveloped property we have on our waterfront. I think that can be a catalyst, not just for the downtown area, but for, you know, other parts of the city as well.
In the meantime, you have a lot of fun things coming up. We have activities on the beach here this summer. And, of course, the International Festival is just a couple of weeks away.
50th anniversary.
Yeah,
yeah, it's this is a great time for the city of Lorain. And it seems as if every summer, at least that I've been around, that it gets better and better because more and more events come. You know, this will be the third year of Roverfest, which, you know, there were some nervous people the first year it came into town. Country Jam's coming here. You know, the International Festival to me is just a staple. I mean, it's a staple of what makes Lorain so great. When you go to the booths, you see the princesses, you see culture on display. So, you know, those are exciting. Rockin' on the River, I mean, the lineup this year is tremendous. Again, that entertainment component, I think, is really important. And I don't want to sell short the Lorain Palace Theater. You know, they're under new leadership. They've got new board members, new leadership at the top with Kurt and Paige Hernan. I mean, I think that is going to be a really key venue in terms of what happens downtown. I'd frankly like to see downtown Lorain eventually be able to host events. Nautica has these acts that come in that are known national acts, and we have that. I mean, looking at who's coming in for Roverfest, Bob Early with Rockin' on the River is able to get some national acts as well. I think we can continue to grow that to a point where if we have people downtown on a predictable basis, spring, summer, and the winter at the Palace, that's when you need restaurants. That's when you need a hotel. That's when you need shops. It's about getting the mass downtown, and that's what we're working to do. But every year it seems we're getting a little bit more, so it's really exciting.
Right. Well, if you see a trajectory, upward trajectory like that, that's a positive.
Absolutely.
To see on that sort of thing, and it kind of gives you something to shoot for. And, of course, the more people that come down, not only with the people seeing the things, but also those acts and the people behind the scenes, they get a reputation. You figure out if this is a place, and more things then can probably build upon that too. So
certainly, and we've heard that from some of the event organizers. I think it's why Roverfest is back for a third year, because our police department, our safety service department, the Port Authority, I think have been very good partners for them. And that makes a difference, because the people who behind the scenes, you know, plan the logistics for Roverfest also have connections elsewhere. Also, you know, have ties to other larger acts that we're starting to see come through Lorain that we didn't see before. So it's a snowball effect, and we anticipate it continuing.
Well, we appreciate you coming in this morning and joining us. Mayor Chase Rittenour, thank you for
your time this morning. Appreciate it.